Parakhas Mishnah Hay. Ubra, a pregnant woman, Sheharicha, that smells of food on Yom Kippur, and she gets a craving now for that food, up until a point that if she doesn't eat it, you know, her life could be in danger, or the baby's life could be in danger. So we're talking about a very serious craving. Then the halacha is, Ma'achilan Osa, you feed her, on Yom Kippur, Ad Shetoshuv Nafsha, until her soul and her body settles down, and you know that she's not in a place of danger anymore. Because when it comes to Bikuach Nefashos, it's a matter of life and death, so then, of course, you transgress the Torah no matter what. So if it's Yom Kippur, you gotta feed her, because you gotta keep her alive. The only exception is, of course, is the three cardinal sins of Avodah Zarah, Gil Arayos, and Shfichas Damim, which is idol worship, immorality, and bloodshed. Those are the three things that, even if it's a matter of life and death, the mitzvah is to give up your life and have to transgress these three cardinal sins. But otherwise, then, you know, you gotta keep the person alive. So here's Yom Kippur, she has a craving because she smells some kind of food, and you gotta feed her until she settles down so that we know that she nor her baby is in a makom sakana, in a place of danger. And they bring down over here that nevertheless, a person should actually whisper in her ear that it's Yom Kippur. So she should realize, you know, what today is, and maybe that'll help her calm herself down and not have a need to eat. And if that doesn't help, then you could feed her, but the idea is that you feed her pachus mikashir, meaning you give her, like we discussed earlier, that with food it was the size of a large date, with drinking was a little bit less than a revius, right? So you give her food in increments of less than the regular shear, so that on a Torah level at least, she's not transgressing a sin of eating because she's eating less than the shear. That would be the ideal. And if that doesn't work, if she has to eat a lot, so then you just give her whatever she needs so that she stays, you know, alive and everything's okay. What about a chola, an ill person? So same idea. Ma'achilin oso alpi bikin. Bikin are a bucky, are experts, are the doctors. If a doctor says the person, if the doctor says that the person's in a sakana, in a place of death, then obviously you don't make the ill person fast and you feed him even on Yom Kippur. V'meinsham bikin, but what if there's no doctors around? Then ma'achilin oso alpi atzmo. We just trust the person himself. He'll tell us himself whether he has to eat or not. Ad shumer dai, until he says, okay, it's enough. And the Gemara explains that even when there are experts around, and the expert doctors say, nah, ain't a tzorach le'echol, he doesn't have to eat. If the chola, if the ill person himself says, I need to eat, then his words go over the expert's words, over the doctor's words. And all the more so if there's no doctors at all. That we believe him, because a person has a natural tendency to know what he needs to live. Right? Of course, we're not talking about a case where a person's just joking around, where it's a serious matter. He really says he needs to eat. So we feed him. Because then if a person says he needs to eat no matter what, and the doctors say he doesn't need to eat, we take his words over the doctors because a person knows himself, you know, more than anybody else. And then we feed him until he says he's dying, until he says, okay, it's enough, I don't need any more. Because the person knows what he needs to live, and then he'll say, okay, I had enough food, I can fast the rest of the day. All right, so that wraps up Mishnah Hay. Now, Mishnah Vav really has nothing to do with Yom Kippur, but once we're talking about scenarios where we'll feed someone food, where ideally we shouldn't be feeding them food, we now bring down a number of cases that are similar to that idea. Mishnah Vav. Mi she'achzo bulmis. If a person has the illness called bulmis. Bulmis was an illness that made a person very weak, and machmas ra'avon from hunger, was like from lack of food, and it was sakanas nefashos, it was a matter of life and death. So the halacha is, this is throughout the year, right, not just on Yom Kippur, ma'achilin oso, you can feed him afilu devar mitmeim, even things that are tame, defiled, meaning non-kosher foods, right, a nevela, dead carcass, shkatzim hermasim, creepy crawling insects. You know, if there's nothing else to feed him, of course the idea is you gotta feed him kosher food. But if there's nothing around, you can even feed him non-kosher food because this illness of bulimia is a matter of life and death. Ad she oru enav, until his eyes light up. What does that mean? Because this illness called bulimia will make a person's eyes dark. Mechasheches ma'ar enayim shel adam. It makes a person's eyes dark. I don't know if that means in a physical sense or if it means just it makes him blind, but either way you understand it, it makes him hard to see. So the mission is coming to teach us that don't wait. Don't wait until you find kosher food and then feed him. No. Rather, feed him right away, whatever you have, even if it's non-kosher, until his, you know, his eyesight comes back, his knowledge, his das, his body settles, and you know that he's not in a place of danger anymore. Mishinashkal kelav shote, if a person was bitten by a wild dog, which is also a kind of stafash, it's a matter of life and death. So the halacha is that you don't feed the person from the chatzar kavet shalo, from the lobe, so they say over here, min yeser, min yoseros hakavet, like this extra piece of liver, shalakelav, of the dog. Meaning, the minog, the custom was, I guess in those days, l'shtamish berefuazu, that if a person was bitten by a wild dog, they would take like this extra piece of liver from the dog and feed it to the person to heal him. But he says over here that since this refuah, this healing process was not baduka, it wasn't really checked out, so you can't really rely on it. Ein la'achila isser shorfuasa mufukfekas. Meaning that granted, in a case where a person has to eat food, and if it's a matter of life and death, we'll even feed him things that are not kosher, but that's when we know the food will for sure heal him. The guy's starving, he's going to die from starvation, you feed him anything, right? If you don't have kosher food around. But here, if he was bitten by a wild dog, there was some kind of thing going around that if you feed him from this extra piece of liver from the dog, it'll heal him. But it wasn't really a checked out refuah, it wasn't a checked out remedy. So if it's not really checked out, we don't say that you could go ahead and start doing things that normally are prohibited. And therefore, the Mishnah says over here, you can't use this extra piece of liver from the dog to feed a person that was bitten by a wild dog, because that really doesn't really work. It's just, you know, like myth talk, but it's not real, and therefore don't do it. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Masya ben Charash Mater, Rabbi Masya ben Charash says, no, it's permissible. You could feed the person from this extra piece of liver from the dog, because Shaladato Refuah Gamurhi, because he, Rabbi Masya ben Charash says that, no, it was a real refuah. It was a real remedy, and you could rely on it, and therefore, you, even though it's not kosher, you could feed it to this person. Okay, so it's machlokas between these two opinions. V'yodam Rabbi Masi ben Charash, and furthermore, Rabbi Masi ben Charash says, Hachoshish begrono, if a person has a sore throat, or some say he's got a pain in his teeth, the idea is he's got some kind of pain in his mouth, Shabasar hachinichayim, the flesh of his gums begins to rot, and we're afraid that it's going to spread and go down to his throat, go down to his intestines. So matil osam, we give him a medicine, betoch piv in his mouth, b'shabbos, on Shabbos. Normally, you don't use standard healing remedies, standard refuos on Shabbos, because there's a problem of shchikas hamanim, we're afraid you're going to start grinding up medicine on Shabbos, and that's a prohibition on Shabbos. It's one of the 39 malachos. So here, you could give him medicine, and we're not concerned about desecrating Shabbos. Why? Because again, this could be a matter of life and death. And it's a suffix nefashos. There's a doubt that maybe it'll lead to life and death. Meaning, it's not that we even know for sure, but there's a doubt. And the halacha is that v'chol suffix nefashos doch as a Shabbos. So until now, we were discussing really things that you know it's life and death, and this is what you have to do, so we permit you to do it. Here we're saying that if it's on Shabbos, okay, in Shabbos, normally you can't desecrate Shabbos. Now, if it's a matter of life and death, of course you could desecrate Shabbos. What about if it's a suffix nefashos, so a doubt of life and death on Shabbos? Do we say you could push up Shabbos for that also? So the Mishnah is coming to teach us that, of course, you could. The pasuk says, "Ushmartim es chukosai." You should guard my statutes, ves mishpatai, my judgments. Asher yasa osam, that you should perform. Ha'adam, the man, v'chai b'ham, you should live by them. And we learn that you should live by the mitzvahs. You shouldn't die by the mitzvahs. Rashi explains that shayas is a mitzvah. You should live by them, badai. You should definitely live. And you shouldn't come to a suffix of misa. So basically what we learn from here is, this is very important, very applicable, especially nowadays, that if there's a question, it's a suffix pekuach nefashos on Shabbos. You're not even, it's not that you know it's a matter of life and death, that you could, you know, call out Salah and desecrate Shabbos. You're not even sure. Maybe I don't really have to call, right? Maybe he'll be okay. We don't assume. These kind of things, we don't assume. You should live by the mitzvahs, not die by the mitzvahs. V'chai b'hem. Therefore, even a suffix, a doubt, of pikuach nefashos of life and death, on Shabbos, we will desecrate Shabbos, and you can go ahead and, you know, call or whatever you have to do to desecrate Shabbos, in order to save this person's life, even though it's a doubt that there's a suffering fascist here. That's the rule. And that concludes Mishnah Vav.